Hello, and welcome to episode 34 of the Disney Park Princess podcast. I am Heather.
I'm Sarah.
And I am Sharla.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Hi.
So, I guess the big news today is Adventures by Disney released for, Adventures by Disney. I'm a little flustered because I've spent the last 3 hours on hold trying to get one of my clients booked into the Egypt itinerary. So ABD is on my mind.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. The hold times are real this morning. I made the mistake of forgetting that it was a release day and calling Adventures by Disney for something unrelated and could not even get in. It was all circuits are currently busy. Tree style, you're calling in later. And I was like, oh yeah, this can wait.
Everybody must want that Egypt trip because usually the Adventures by Disney, like Insider's release, isn't as bad as, you know, a lot of other days like Disney Cruise Line release or Walt Disney World release. So everybody must want Egypt.
I was going to say that Egypt itinerary, like last year it was Japan people were going crazy for. This year it's Egypt. I mean, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that when it releases to the public on Thursday, it will not be as crazy.
Yeah.
But you know it will be. You know it will be.
Listen, wishful thinking over here. Just line up my caffeine in advance. Just keep the cups of tea and coffee coming.
Hey, well, how was everybody's Mother's Day? We forgot to talk about Mother's Day last week.
My Mother's Day was amazing because I did nothing. I did nothing. My husband waited on me, hand and foot, really. And nice. It was awesome.
What was your present, Sharla?
a brand new shower head. It's a shower head with a separate massage or like, you know, shower wand. So I insist on the shower wand for bathing the dogs.
So. Oh, see, that's smart. You do need that.
Yeah.
I'm just used to putting Copley in the sink. So
yeah.
What about you, Sarah?
Well, you both know how my Mother's Day was because you got endless amounts of complaining text messages. It was a lovely Mother's Day. I woke up at 5 a.m.
Sunday.
Yes, on a Sunday and got to stand in the pouring torrential rain for 5.5 hours. And every few hours or so, my son would zip by in a crew boat. And that was my... That was my Mother's Day. It was 40 degrees and 41 degrees, to be fair, and pouring rain. And yeah, and then I spent the rest of the day once I got home about 2 o'clock in the afternoon in front of the fire in my pajamas, refusing to move. So that was my
Mother's least Day. If it was sunny and 75, I would have pulled up a little chair, you know, had a glass of wine and been like, this is great. Yeah. Yes. Bring me food.
To be fair, that's what it was on Saturday. We had another race on Saturday and it was gorgeous and sunny and beautiful and in the Litchfield Hills of Connecticut. So I cannot complain too much because I got one gorgeous day and then one kind of yucky day. The yucky day just happened to be Mother's Day, but you know.
Of course, that's how it always is.
That's how it goes.
Well, I also have to say today is my 15th wedding anniversary. So happy anniversary to my husband.
Aww, happy anniversary, guys.
So we've dealt with each other for 15 years. So I guess we'll do it for a little longer.
Babies. Yeah. Just babies. Newlyweds.
So we are not going out on a date tonight because my daughter has a school play. And so we're doing that, but we have family coming in for it. So we're all going out to dinner. So
fun.
A big family affair. So it'll be fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Here you go. And how about you, Heather? What did Copley get you?
Copley got me nothing. He didn't even want to snuggle with me on Mother's Day. But I did go to the Renaissance Fair. So that was fun. Have you guys ever been to a Renaissance Fair?
No. Oh.
There's a big one in Atlanta, but I've never been to it.
What? Okay. See, Justin had never been. This was his first one. And I thought he was crazy because I just grew up going to the one in New York. But now I come to find out nobody has been to a Renaissance Fair. They're a lot of fun. If there is one in your area, just go. They're a lot of fun because, you know, there's a lot of different shows. They joust. It's really cool. And then I just came home and I took a bath. And eventually around 8 p.m., Copley decided I'm going to crawl onto your lap and go to sleep. So thanks, Copley.
You did get some Copley slippers, though. That was pretty fun.
Oh, I did. I got giant Boston Terrier slippers. And when I mean giant, they are probably... just the front part. Like it's like little Boston Terrier heads walk like on the front of your feet, and the heads are probably twice the size of my actual Boston Terriers. They're massive, and they're so ridiculously cheesy, but I love them. They're fantastic.
So cute.
Did he destroy them yet?
He tried. He definitely pounced on them within the first 3 minutes, and then for the next 3 days, I had to fight him off of my slippers as he tried to pull the ear off of this new creature. Like, no, this is my mom. Back off. You don't get to have her.
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
Well, I guess there's a little bit of Disney news this week. Not much, but a little bit. Sharla, why don't you tell us about Rafiki's Planet Watch?
Okay. Rafiki's Planet Watch has been under renovation, we know, for the last month or two. And it was supposed to open fairly soon, I guess, but they announced yesterday that it's now not going to open until sometime in August. But the cool thing about it is they are, so it's a little bit delayed, but the really cool thing about it is they are putting in a Walt Disney exhibit. So I think it's kind of neat that they are putting in a new exhibit, even though it's going to take a little bit longer for it to open. Yeah.
I'm okay with the delay as long as it reopens and I get my monkeys back. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
I want to see the veterinary hospital. I want to pet the goats, and I know that they're going to take it out, but I really loved the sounds of the rainforest. That was my favorite.
I did too.
Yeah. I really love Rafiki's Planet Watch. And the only thing I don't like about it is the train getting there, because that really delays it, you know, but anyway.
We're dying laughing because Charlotte's dog Trisket has decided to make a guest appearance in the background of the podcast, and it's cracking
She's
Heather and I up.
She's sniffing around the office. Yeah. She's so cute.
She's funny. Yeah.
I don't care. They just have to bring it back because that was my favorite thing. I got to see a tiger being operated on once over there, and that was cool.
That's really awesome.
And then the next bit of news was actually news to me. I had no idea until Sarah told me 10 minutes ago. So there are new movies coming to Epcot?
Yes. So everybody who has been to Epcot in the last, 20 years has probably seen either the China movie or the Canada movie. These are the Circle Vision sort of 360 movies where you lean up against a railing and try to look everywhere at once. And they're very dated. Like, they are kind of hilariously dated if you go see them
at
this point.
They're literally park opening.
Yeah, they're really old. So they're getting an update. So starting in early 2020 with the Epcot Festival of the Arts, not only are Canada and China getting new films, but there is a new movie going into the land as well. So very exciting. Yeah, the old, I think it was The Lion
Circle
King.
Circle of Life.
Circle of Life is being replaced with a new movie. So those are coming in January 2020. So I'm excited.
I'm so excited, especially for the China one. Like, I can't wait to see that. I'm surprised, though, that Canada is being redone. I mean, that was just done 10 years ago, right? When they put in Martin Short.
Yeah, China's not that, Canada's not that old. China's really old.
China's from park opening.
And especially because, I mean, China has changed so much in that time period. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Canada, wonderful country. Can't wait to see the movie because now I've been there. China's really a completely different country than it was when this movie, the original movie, was filmed. So I think it'll be really interesting. So, and I just, I love anything new that comes to Epcot. It's my favorite park. So
I could spend all day there.
I'm excited about seeing the new movie that comes to where Circle of Life was, because that was a cute little movie, but it got dated pretty quickly as well. Yeah. But it's a good place for it too, because in Future World, everybody makes a beeline for that pavilion anyway because of Soarin'. So, another crowd sucker, if you will, for that area, I think it's a good choice. So I'm excited to see that too.
Perfect. Can we just say, forget the film and bring back Kitchen Cabaret?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll even take Food Rocks, but mostly Kitchen Cabaret.
I want Body Wars back.
Yes.
Oh, I loved Body Wars.
I mean, I can't ride a simulator anymore because it just makes me ill. But for Body Wars,
Wars was good. And The Making of Me. Does anybody else remember? Yes.
I was not allowed to go see that. And my mom was like, let me go see it first and then I'll bring you in.
Wasn't that Martin Short too?
I don't remember.
Yes. I think it was. I think he did the voice narration for it.
He also did, when I was, the first time I was at Disneyland Paris, he did something called Cinemagique, and he was the kind of star of that little movie too. It was gone by the time we got there, but it was a really cute show. And he was in that. So he's all over the place right now.
He parlayed that Franck deal into a whole series of things. Yeah.
Because Franck is amazing and we all need more Franck in our lives. Let's just be honest.
Let's be clear. If I could have a Franck running my life, I would be the happiest girl on the planet.
God, like, me too. It would be fantastic. Yeah. I think everybody else would not want to hang out with me, but I'd be like, I don't care. Franck's coming.
Franck's coming. Yep.
All right. So the new Skyliner gondolas were unveiled.
And there's a lot.
Yeah, so, as you all know, we are not fans of gondola here. There's a lot more characters on them than I thought there were going to be.
Yeah,
I thought there's just too many.
They look busy to me.
You're also going to get hit with lightning if you ride them. So whatever.
Let's not allegedly. Let's not say that. Nobody sue the podcast.
None of us like the gondolas as a ride system because we don't like that type of thing. However, I think they are doing the best that they can with that particular type of thing. I wish they had expanded the monorail instead or done some other type of mode of transportation? Yes. However, I kind of like that they put not just like Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy. They put Grim Grinning Ghosts on it. They put, you know, every single Disney character just about on one. Now, yeah, they are busy and all of that, but it's like every character throughout the Walt Disney universe is represented in some way, it seems like. So I think that's really cool.
Look, if it gets people off my boats and my monorails, I'll be singing the gondola's praises. I probably won't be riding the gondolas very much, but anything that gets, you know, people off of my particular mode of transportation, I'm fine with.
Yeah. I would really like the gondola to surprise me and be fast and efficient, but I don't see it being that way. And I need to see this summer what happens when there is a thunderstorm every afternoon. How long are they shut down for? What happens to them?
They're not debuting until fall. So
conveniently, when there's no thunderstorms.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see how they're efficient, especially as somebody who lived right next to Walt Disney World for over a year. Like, those thunderstorms are violent and they're scary and they happen every day. And I know I don't want to be stuck in one of those things when that's happening.
Yeah. Look, I will be so happy to be wrong. Like, if I am wrong about this and these are the best things ever, I will be thrilled about it. Like, I will admit that I was wrong. I will be so happy to be wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. But we'll see.
We're not wrong. Yeah. But I would like to be.
I would love to be wrong about this too.
I also don't like what it's doing to the International Gateway, which there is already massive lines when one of the boats comes in. And now you're going to have an endless stream of people who, by the way, have not paid for the privilege of being able to go in through the International Gateway by staying at one of the deluxe resorts. But now they're going to be coming in from really, really big resorts, Caribbean Beach and Pop Century, that are probably way more capacity than the Beach Club or the Boardwalk are. And now they're going to be like, are you putting in more turnstiles? What's happening?
They have to address that.
Sarah and I talked about this when we were there before, because we were looking at all of the building and everything. And I think there's a place where the new turnstiles are going to go. But I don't know. And I don't know about bag check. I don't know about how they're just going to make that work. But we'll see.
I'm sure they've thought about it. Let's
hope.
I don't know. I'm trying to. Yeah, Disney doesn't really think about things. But great. So there's that. There's pretty pictures on the gondolas. And the new restaurant at Epcot by Mission Space. There's a little bit of news. There's sort of an opening date.
Yeah, earlier than we thought it was going to be, which is really exciting. It's opening this summer. Nothing specific. But this summer.
So now, when does summer end? The end of September, beginning of October? They'll push it as far as they can.
It's the Disney definition of summer. So we'll see. But it's going to be operated by the Patina Restaurant Group, which is the same group that operates Tutto Italia and Via Napoli and Morimoto Asia. And I think maybe one or two others. But there is a huge, ladies, you guys are going to be so excited. There is a massive wine list for this restaurant.
Yes. Because if you're going to be in space with no sunshine, you need some wine. I'm actually really excited for this restaurant. It looks super cool. And I feel like it's something that if they had the capability to do this in the 80s when Epcot opened, they would have done it. Like, it looks like it's going to be really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that there's wine list, well, now I'm just more excited.
I think it's I don't know if this is going to be signature dining. I don't think they've said if it's going to be signature dining, but it certainly is looking that way based on just like the wine list. And I don't know. Well, they haven't said anything, but over 1,000 bottles.
On the Shut up.
Wow. I swear to God, over 1,000 bottles.
So it'll take us, what, a week to get through those shows?
Well, no, here's the thing. I don't know why we get so excited over a massive wine list, because we always
you
do.
You only order the same drink every time.
We drink the same wine every time.
The conversation goes the same way every time. Do you have anything from New Zealand? No. Okay. All right. If it's from New Zealand, it's good wine. If it's, that's all I know about wine, by the way, because I don't know why.
But, if, it's but according to what we say,
it's what they say every time. Yeah. I know it's from New Zealand. It's good wine. Yeah.
Marlborough, New Zealand. Yes.
There you go.
Well, also mine and Heather's text thread is just us sending bottles of wine pictures back and forth. I got this today. It was this price, and I got this today. You know.
Unless you think we're kidding, I'm just going to hold this up to Sarah here.
No, I believe it. I believe it.
This was this morning. Well, I was still in the gym working out. She was grocery shopping and pick. Did you get this? Have you tried this? I'm like, oh, this one's really good. Okay. I've saved the best piece of news for last because I about fell off my chair yesterday morning when I saw this come through. But you know how we love our mouse ears? And Disney announced yesterday that they, throughout the next year, are doing limited release designer mouse ears.
They're so cute.
So excited.
I'm really excited about this. So they have a bunch of different celebrities and different brands releasing mouse ears. And it's not just the headband mouse ears, it's the cap mouse ears as well, too. So they have different designers and celebrities throughout next summer. So every month, once or twice a month, they have new people coming out. So, I mean, Joe Rohde is doing a pair. Vera Wang is doing a bridal pair. Betsy Johnson, Harvey's, Alex and Ani,
Heidi Klum. Universe,
yeah, Heidi Klum, hers. Did you see hers? They're all diamonds.
Yes.
I think that Carly Kloss is doing one. Kevin Rafferty. I'm just looking at this list. I'm not going to lie. My very favorite one, which I'm surprised about because it's not a brand I really buy in real life, but the Coach ears, they're all leather mouse ears with little flowers applique onto them.
Wow.
My gosh, they're adorable. I'm looking at the Shag ones. So they're, you know, the cap mouse ears and they're tiki themed. Like if you've seen the Shag designs, right, in the Wonderground Gallery and such. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, they're adorable. But the Coach ears, let me tell you. Okay, so everybody, Coach is not releasing until this fall. There is no date, just says fall 2019, and I will be buying them. I don't even know how much they're going to be, probably several $100 because it's all leather, but they are gorgeous. And bonus points, they're releasing at Walt Disney World and Disneyland, but also on shopdisney.com. So if you're not in the parks, you can go online and hopefully get them before they sell out.
Yes. And I saw that our friend Noah Fine Art is doing a pair as well.
Oh.
Yep. We have we often have the booth right next to Noah at the D23 Expo.
Yes.
So
I'm looking at
him on a number of occasions. Yeah. These are one of the first ones. Those come out this summer.
Nice.
I don't know who this one, I'm looking at the pictures. I don't know who did this one, but it's like one of the cap designs, but it's the hipster Mickey. So he's got big giant glasses.
The glasses.
And he's really funny.
Cute.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I don't even know. I don't know who the blondes are. Cupcakes.
Oh, I know who the blondes are. They did. Did you see the Met Gala looks?
Yes.
They contributed to Billy Porter's Met Gala look. Oh. The gold, all the gold, and he was the one that came in, carried by six men.
Yes.
Yeah, they worked on that.
Okay. So I don't know which one. They haven't put their picture out of what theirs look like, so that might be a good one too. Mm-hmm. Betsy Johnson is really cute. They have little puff balls as the ears, like little fuzzy puff balls. They're really cute.
Betsy Johnson from my hometown of Wethersfield, Connecticut. Yay!
So yeah, everybody, just pay attention to. I'm sure Parks Blog will be releasing every day,
for sure.
You know, or when they're going to be released. But that Coach set, I can't wait. I'm definitely getting them. And I'm reading the article. They're all over the parks. I mean, it's not just World of Disney. There's five or six stores in each.
Yeah. Oh, there's a bunch of them.
Each destination. Wow.
Yep. I think I just heard my credit card amid a teeny tiny scream from the other room.
Let's go. So, yeah, I think that's everything, right?
All we have.
I think so.
Okay. So then this week we decided we were going to, because this is a question I get quite a bit in my job, but we were going to discuss the different room categories or view types at the Walt Disney World resorts. Because I think it's confusing when you go to book a hotel room at one of the resorts and you see deluxe view, standard view. What does it all mean? And how do you know what is the best value for your money as you're booking your vacation? And so I guess most views vary from hotel to hotel, but I think one thing that is the same across every different variety of hotel that Disney has is that a standard view means you are going to be looking at the parking lot.
Yeah. Or an air conditioning unit.
Yeah. And you're going to be in the very back of the resort. So if it's a bigger resort, like maybe a Caribbean beach or something, you are going to be as far away as possible from the main areas of the resorts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, do you want to sort of tackle them like category by category? Like, you know, because typically all the value resorts have mostly the same room categories, moderates, deluxes. You can go through them that way, I guess.
Sure. I think that's probably the easiest way to tackle it. So let's start with a value resort. There's really only two room categories there. There's a standard and a preferred.
Except room. For Pop Century.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And
Art of Animation.
Well, those are suites. So those are kind of different.
Those are different.
But again, standard room is always going to be overlooking a parking lot. It's great because it's the most economical. So maybe if you're ready to bump up from maybe a value to a moderate or a moderate to a deluxe, it's a way to get into that hotel and not pay crazy pricing. But if you're like me, where you like to wake up with a cup of tea or maybe, you know, sunset with a glass of wine on your balcony, I don't like a standard view. I don't want to hear the air conditioning as I'm sitting outside trying to relax.
And so I will say that at Art of Animation, also the standard views, which are the only rooms that are not the suites or the family suites, they are at the very back of the resort. And I mean, you're talking the farthest rooms you can get, because that's just how they set up that hotel when they brought it in from being just a pile of construction to the hotel itself. They put the standard rooms at the very, very back.
I just want to make sure we're clear, because the value rooms are a little bit different than moderate and deluxe categories, because in the value, it's standard room versus preferred room. So it doesn't actually so much apply to the view as it does to the location. And this is different from other categories. So standard rooms at value hotels, so Pop Century and the All Stars, is how close are you to the, you know, pool and the food court. Right. Preferred locations are very specific locations. However, you could have a preferred room at a value resort that's still going to look at a parking lot. So,
yeah. You just don't have to walk 2 miles to the bus stop.
Yes.
At the end
and
of the
so
day.
This is the same at the value and at the moderate hotels. It's standard versus preferred is a location-based descriptor as opposed to a view-based descriptor. It's really not until you get into the deluxe resorts that standard refers to the view and not the location, if that makes any sense. So I just want to make sure we're being real clear about that.
Yes. And then further complicate it, we go to Pop Century, where Sarah alluded to that there were a few different room categories there, where there is a standard room and a standard pool view room, a preferred room, and a preferred pool view. So now the standard and preferred refers to location, but then you also have a little bit of a view.
Yeah. Pop's the only one that does that. And I don't know why they do that. But
I like to tell my clients, though, too, that the difference between, for example, a standard room and a standard preferred room is so minimal, maybe $40 to $50 total over your reservation.
Standard pool view, you mean?
Yeah, standard and standard pool view. What did I say?
Standard preferred.
Ignore. I've been up for way too long working this morning. So the difference between a standard and a standard pool view room is so minimal that I always try to encourage people to book the standard pool view, because you are just that much closer to the front of the resort. So instead of being all the way in the back building on the far side where you have to walk around the building, now you're still in that back building, but on the front side of it. So you're a little bit closer.
Yeah. Yeah. This is why we get this question a lot, because it's very confusing.
It's confusing. It's confusing. Yeah. It's, yeah. If you're confused by it, you're not alone.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, people just assume, I just want a standard room. I just want to be at this hotel and I don't see why I have to spend all this extra money. And for some people, maybe it's not worth it, but if you're looking to get the best value for your money, and that means you don't want to walk for 10 minutes to get to a bus stop, you want to be able to pop downstairs and get your refillable mug of coffee every morning, you know, these are the things that you have to think about.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so then we move on to the moderates, which have a lot more room types.
I just they don't like to make it easy on you. So the same thing, standard view, back of the resort, further walk, view of a parking lot. That's pretty much not going to change. But then, depending on the moderate resort you're in, you then get into locations and also views. So whether that is a pool view, a water view of some type. These rooms now also offer king beds. So are you going to book a king bed room? There's a lot to think about.
Can we just talk about the king bed thing right for a minute? Because this is one of my biggest Disney pet peeves, and I get like Heather level fired up about this. Like, it makes me absolutely insane that the only place that you can specifically book a king bed room is at a moderate resort. That is insane. We should absolutely be able to book king beds at deluxe resorts. That's right. Nuts that we can't. I do not understand it. I do not know why they do it. And one time I was staying at the Polynesian and I requested a king bedroom and they looked at me like I was crazy. And they were like, I mean, we have, and they, the cast member at the front desk said to me, I mean, we have barely any of those. This is a family resort. I mean, and I didn't even know what she meant by that. Like, you have them. I'm a couple. So what? Yeah. I shouldn't get it. Like, it made no sense to me and it makes me absolutely crazy. I cannot, to this day, I've been doing this for a really long time. I'm going on 12 years in this job. I have not come up with a good Sarah-ism. This is what we call the emails that I send my clients that are very wordy.
Not so polite thing.
Right. I have not come up with a very good reason as to why I can't guarantee my deluxe clients a king bed. I got nothing.
Because especially if you're paying $600, $700, $800, $900 a night, I should be able to get the kind of bed I want.
Thank you.
Yeah. And even those Polynesian rooms and other deluxe resorts sleep 3 or 5, you know? Right. So they've got that extra bed. So for me, it would be perfect to have a king bed and a twin pullout or day bed.
The day bed.
Mm-hmm. And for you as well. Although Ryan's getting so much bigger, he's might not. Yep. Like the little bit anymore.
Yeah.
My 7-year-old and your 15-year-old are very different in size. But yeah,
he's about 3 times her size right now. So yeah.
But it's, yes, I agree with you that there should be a reason or a way to do it. And at most hotels, if you specify that you want a king bedroom, it is not really an upcharge. Sometimes depending on the level of hotel it is, but like Universal, for example, you can get a standard 2-queen room or a standard king room for the same price.
Yep.
Same thing with their, you know, upgraded rooms, water view or whatever. Yeah. It's the same price. And the king bed rooms at like Caribbean Beach or, any of the other moderate resorts, they are the most expensive rooms most of the time. It used to be, you know, like the preferred view or the river view was the most expensive. Not as much anymore. Now it's the king bed that
king
is the most
getting
expensive.
Very expensive. Yeah. And there's no such thing, like you have to choose. Mm-hmm. Do you want a king bed or do you want a preferred room? You cannot book a preferred king room.
The only place that you can do that is over at Coronado Springs, where they have a king bedroom,
yes,
a water view king room, or a preferred king room.
Yep.
But that is also again, what they consider a convention resort. So they have a lot more travelers that are not coming with big families.
Right.
And water view does not mean preferred room. It means water view. You can be back at the resort.
Yeah. But you can still be view. Way away.
Yeah.
And that's a big resort. Like you have to take golf carts around there. It's massive.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's that.
So let's just say, like, in the moderate resorts, my recommendation is always going to be preferred room. Always, always, always. Yeah. Just because, with the exception of Port Orleans French Quarter, which doesn't even have a preferred room because it's so small, the resorts are really big. And standard rooms can be a good 10 plus minute walk away from the coffee, the pool, the bus, you name it. So in moderate resorts in particular, I think the preferred room really is worth the investment.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Especially at some place like a Coronado Springs or a Caribbean beach where, I mean, Riverside is big too, but it's not quite as big as those other two, or you can just walk forever. I'm not kidding. One night I stayed at Coronado Springs, I checked in and it was like 9 p.m. I had a really late flight and the guy looks at me, he goes, just let's go. Let's get in the golf cart. I'll take your luggage, because it was that far of a walk that it was a 7-minute golf cart ride from check-in to my room. Wow. So, you know, it's just, again, value for the dollar. Yes, you're going to pay a little more, but what is your experience going to be when you're there?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There's one more type of new room category, or I guess two types, but
this is where I was going to go.
Okay. So at Port Orleans Riverside and Caribbean Beach, some of those rooms do sleep up to 5 guests. So before, you could just say, I have 5 guests in this room, and then they would put you in one of those rooms with the Murphy style twin bed and the 2 queen beds. Well, now anybody can book those rooms. It's just called a like standard view or garden view 5th sleeper. So let's say you have, you know, 4 people, but the kids don't want to sleep in the same bed. You could book that 5th sleeper and have separate beds for them. So you can guarantee yourself that extra bed, no matter what. And it, you know, it is more money than the standard view or the garden view, but, you know, it may be worth it to some people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then going with different room categories, let's confuse everybody a little bit more. And Port Orleans Riverside and Caribbean Beach have specialty rooms. So over at Caribbean Beach, they have what are called pirate rooms, which means everything is decorated like pirates. The beds look like pirate ships, and they're really, really cute. And they were done to, you know, entice families to stay in these particular rooms, especially families with little boys that were really into the Pirates of the Caribbean series. But what they did is that they took the rooms in the very, very farthest buildings. I'm talking a good 20-minute walk from the main area of the resort, and turned these into pirate rooms so that it would compel people to stay there. And that's great. You're going to have a really fun themed experience, but you're going to walk a lot. So that's something that maybe a lot of people don't know when they're booking these rooms, that they think, I'm going to take my son and we're going to do the pirate room. And then they get there and they're as far out as you possibly could be. Like, I'm talking, these rooms are butting up against World Showcase Epcot.
They're way out there.
So, you know, it's just something.
And
that
the beds are super small.
Yes.
In the pirate rooms.
Yeah. When Caribbean Beach got the upgrade a couple years ago to queen beds, they did not upgrade the pirate rooms. So they are still like the double full-size beds. They are adorable. I mean, they really are. But if you're used to sleeping in a queen-size bed or a king-size bed, a week in a full-size bed with two people is not fun.
And it's not even so much, the full-size bed is a problem, but also the frame of the headboard, it gives you even slightly less space than you would normally have because of the way it curves over the head and the foot of the bed. So if you're used to dangling your little tootsies off the end of the bed or over the side or the corner, you can't do that because of the headboard and the footboard, the way the bed is shaped. So,
but the rooms are incredibly cute. Don't get me wrong. But they are far away. And then on the same vein, Port Orleans Riverside has the princess rooms, royal guest rooms is what they're called. So, but they do have queen beds in those royal guest rooms.
They're really, really pretty. You know, it's like Princess Tiana invited all of her friends to come and stay with her for a week. And so she has these fancy rooms for her princess friends. And so you'll see little nods to the print, like, you know, I think the faucets in the bathroom are genie lamp shaped, and so they're just nods to the princesses. But for the most part, those are in the mansion section of Port Orleans Riverside. So they tend to actually not be that far away from the main areas. So, you know, they're a little bit closer to everything. So it's a nice way to not really guarantee that you're right there by the food court and the check-in desk, but you know, you're not going to be in the very back of the resort there.
Yeah. 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 Those are cute rooms.
They are cute rooms. I stayed there once with my niece, and they have one of the light up headboards, not as cool as the one where the Disneyland Hotel, but pretty cute. And my niece, our first night, laid in bed for an hour pushing the button over. And at first it was great. And then we're like, oh my God, you have to go to bed now.
It sounds like me. I do that at the Disneyland Hotel nonstop.
Yep.
It's great.
Yeah. But okay, so then let's talk about the different room categories over at the deluxe resorts, because this is where I think it's really the view that's important here, not the location, because most of the deluxe resorts have balconies, and so you can sit outside and enjoy the weather and enjoy your view, and I think that's where this really comes in. So standard view, again, parking lot, air conditioner, resort, you know, different utilities, I guess.
Yeah. But I mean, my standard view room at Animal Kingdom Lodge was literally looking out at a roof and the back of an air conditioning unit. I mean, it was the most disappointing thing to walk out on the balcony and literally just be staring at essentially like construction. It was just not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's important, especially for that hotel, because when people go to stay at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, they are assuming they're going to be getting a room looking at the savannas, because that's what it's billed as, right? Like, you think you're supposed to be staying there to be in a safari lodge, but that's not the case. The only way to guarantee that you're seeing animals from your room is if you book a savanna view, which of course is one of the most expensive in that hotel.
Yeah.
So just because you're staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, you don't automatically get to watch the animals from your room.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to pay attention to what view that you're picking.
And to me, if I'm going to stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge, no matter what, I'm going to pay for that savanna view. And if for some reason it's not available, I'm not going to stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Right. Why else are you staying there?
Why else?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I can sit out on the balcony and have my wine or my, you know, tea or something like that and watch the animals. That's the whole point. Otherwise, I can just go visit.
I'm kidding. It's wine.
Yeah. Well, not when I first wake up.
She needs at least an hour.
But the it's Diet Coke is what it is going to be. But they also have bunk bedrooms at some of the deluxe resorts.
Yes.
Animal Kingdom Lodge is one, and Wilderness Lodge is the other one. And so you can specifically...
Although we heard a rumor that they're getting rid of them.
Oh, really?
Right? Yes.
Hope not. It's such a nice like thing for families with the little kids. And I mean little kids, because these bunk beds are tiny.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a small person, and I would probably have trouble fitting into the bunk beds. Like, I wouldn't be able to move around. But it's nice when you have two little kids that... I don't want to touch Hurley. Get her away. And they have their own beds, and it's fantastic. I think.
Oh, the Fort Wilderness cabins have bunk beds too, in that bedroom.
Yes. Also, you know, so every time they update a resort, a lot of times we'll notice that the room categories change. And this recently happened at Wilderness Lodge. They did a very extensive upgrade on the rooms a couple of years ago, a lot of construction around the resort, and then the room categories changed. So whereas it used to be like, I don't even remember, but like standard Woods View, now we have, I think, Courtyard and Nature View.
There was for a brief time Nature Fireworks View.
Yes,
but I'm not sure
for like
if that's
a hot
still
second.
There.
Yeah, that lasted a week, I think.
Yeah. And so, you know, there are certain resorts, though, you know, like we said, Animal Kingdom Lodge, the view really, really, really matters. Contemporary Resort, that's another one where I think the room choice really matters.
Yes, because when you're staying at the Contemporary, you're staying there because you are right on top of the Magic Kingdom. You are within walking distance. So when you think of that, what do you think that you want to be looking at? You want to see the fireworks. You want to sit in your pajamas and you want to see those fireworks. But that's not always the case.
Yeah. And in Contemporary in particular, there's separate buildings, right? So there's the garden buildings and then there's the tower. And a lot of people don't realize that if you book, you know, a garden room, you are not staying in that pyramid-shaped tower that everybody has seen on TV that the monorail goes straight through. Your room is literally in a completely separate building that has no view of the Magic Kingdom at all.
Right.
And even further, within that garden wing, you can either be looking over at the parking lot or you can be looking out towards Bay Lake. So there's different view categories within that garden wing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Polynesian and Grand Floridian also have the Magic Kingdom view rooms, but they're very far from Magic Kingdom. You can see fireworks. You can see the top of Cinderella Castle, but it is, I would not really call it a full theme park view, but you can definitely see some things. So,
yeah. And the price differential between room categories at the deluxe resorts in particular, each category you move up, the difference jumps significantly. Yeah. So at the Polynesian, for example, they now have Garden View is their version of Standard View, I think, or is it Standard? They keep changing it. Anyway, Standard / Garden is the entry level room at Polynesian. And then it's Pool / Marina, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then
Lagoon.
It's Lagoon View, and then it's Theme Park View. So those are each and every step you get up, it is a massive difference between the Standard Garden and the Theme Park.
It's not that much different than Pool and Marina and Standard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So tiny little difference between Pool and Marina and massive difference between anything in Theme Park.
I mean, I guess the point is to really, before you book your trip, think about what's most important to you. Like, don't just go in assuming that, oh, I'm going to stay at the Grand Floridian, so I'm just going to book a standard room and it's not going to matter, because it does. It's location and it's view type. So do you want to be closer to the restaurants and the bus stop or the monorail? Do you want to be able to sit out on your balcony and see the fireworks, or look at some trees and see some wildlife? What is it that you are hoping to get out of your vacation? Because that's going to determine the room category that's better for you. Because if you do like to relax out on your balcony like I do, you're just not going to be happy with a standard room. So you may have paid significantly less, but your experience won't be what you want it to be. And then once you really do figure out what you want, ask questions, whether you're asking a travel agent, you're asking Disney directly, figure out what each of those categories mean, because there's so many of them and they're so confusing. Like, just listening to Sarah talk about the Polynesian, she listed off 5 different categories. And just because you book a lagoon view, you would assume, well, the lagoon's looking at the castle, but that doesn't mean you're going to see the fireworks. So it's crazy.
Yeah. It's really important to get a good sense, I think, also of one tip that, you know, I always tell clients or listeners or readers, make sure that you look at a map of the resort, that, you know, they're just Google it, they're online, you can find resort maps, you know, just about everywhere, you know, but make sure that you understand sort of the size and the scale and what we're talking about when we talk about different buildings or different views or whatever. Google Earth is also a huge help with this. Yeah. If you look up your resort on Google Earth and sort of zoom out a little bit, you really can get a sense of what are you close to? What could you possibly be seeing, or what could possibly be in the way of what it was you thought you were going to be seeing? So,
yeah. And I would look at a combination too, because just because the resort map says one thing, they may have not a sidewalk on here, or they don't have the doors listed that is closest to your room. One time we were at the Grand Floridian and we were in a room kind of far away from like the main entrance to that building, but we were 2 doors down from the, like, the back exit. And so we just would go in and out that door instead of walking all the way to the main little lobby area of that building, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I requested a room similar to that because we were theme park view, but, you know, it didn't matter to me. So if you look at the map plus maybe Google Earth or Google Images, you can see that the sidewalk actually goes to there.
Mm-hmm.
And the map did not say there was a sidewalk there.
That means they don't want you there.
It's fine. The door was unlocked. The door was totally unlocked. It was absolutely fine. It did not say cast members only. Oh, here's one more thing to think about. The time we stayed at the Grand Floridian theme park view room was great, but I was running the half marathon, so I was trying to go to bed super early. That electric water pageant is so dang loud that while we had a great view, that really impacted, you know, my particular stay, because I was trying to go to sleep at night, just the one night. But just little things like that to ask people about, you know, what kind of noise level there is. If that's something that's important to you, is, you know, to go to sleep at 8 o'clock one night, could be only, again, only for me that one night. But it was, It was real loud.
But also if you have little, you know, if you have babies or young children who go to sleep earlier, if you're in a theme park view room at the Contemporary and the fireworks go off right outside your window, you know, that may be a rather unpleasant experience if you've just gotten a teeny tiny baby down to sleep and all of a sudden the fireworks go off. So they are definitely, you know, considerations to think about.
Yeah. I think we got everything right. Or do we miss?
Oh, I'm sure that, I mean, my gosh, there's so many, we could probably go on for hours, but I think we've covered the gist of it.
Yeah. Just do your research. Do your research.
Yeah. So,
Well, I hope that helps. I mean, it's confusing, but thank you everyone for listening to us. We appreciate you all so much. And you know, you can always find us on DisneyParkPrincess.com. We write our blogs a couple times a week. So sometimes we do this, you know, we go more in depth in certain topics that we talk about here. And sometimes it's something completely different. You can also find us on Facebook at Disney Park Princess or over on Instagram at Diz Park Princess. And then I also want to say a big thank you to our Patreon subscribers. You guys are helping us come up with better technology for our blog. We're trying to go ahead and get all of our podcasts transcribed so that they're in the show notes. We actually have everything that we said in writing. So maybe for our listeners that are hard of hearing, that would be really big help. So if you want to subscribe, you can go to patreon.com/DisneyParkPrincess. And every week we record something a little bit extra for our subscribers. This week, do you guys have any ideas? Because maybe we talk about where our favorite room locations are at our favorite resort. Or
we could do that.
Give you our little secrets so you guys can maybe
super secret favorite room locations.
All right. Well, we will talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.